You're listening to the So You Think You're Intuitive podcast, a podcast to help you reactivate, grow, and trust your intuition so you can live a more empowered and connected life. Join me, Natalie Miles, spiritual mentor and psychic medium, every Wednesday for inspired conversations, guidance, and practical tips on how you can work with your intuition in your everyday life. Because who doesn't want to trust their intuition more? Welcome back to So Think You're Intuitive. I'm Natalie Miles, taking you on this journey to reactivate and trust your intuition to become a conscious intuitive. Hello, hope you are having a good week wherever you are listening to this episode in the world. I know that we are facing challenging times in the collective and that we are all going through things on a daily basis right now. So just sending you some love and support wherever you are in the world, whatever you are experiencing today in this moment. And thank you for all the downloads and the listens and the shares. Thank you for listening to the April energy forecast, the empty room, and the updated 2020 energy forecast. Thank you for listening and sharing that as well. So yeah, big thank you. And big thank yous again to all the frontline support workers who are really helping us to live a normal life. So yeah, the supermarket workers, the truck drivers, the people who are picking our food, the medical frontline workers, anyone that is working in our hospitals, our care homes. Yeah, big thank you. Thank you for supporting us during these times and being out there, and for many of you putting your lives at risk to support others and also to keep us safe. So thank you. I do find myself personally thinking about the future and then going there, and I just keep bringing it back to the present moment and just being like, today is Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. Where am I at today? How do I feel in my body today? What's coming up for me today? What things on my to-do list do I need to do today? Yeah. And so if you are really struggling with worrying about what the future is going to look like after all of this, just keep bringing it back to the present if you can. It's been a practice where I'm just noticing how I feel. I'm noticing the things around me and really practicing being in that state of noticing the present moment. So yeah, if that's you and you're worrying about the future, I hope that that small practice will just help you to bring it back in your body. And you can even do something that my mum actually showed me, was just to use the phrase, I am breathing in, I am breathing out, I am breathing in, I am breathing out. And you can say that out loud or in your head, but just doing that for even a minute will really calm you and bring it back into the present moment. So yeah, I am breathing in, I am breathing out. It's just, yeah, our breath and our heart is such a constant. Talking about the heart space, tonight is the Connect to Your Heart Magic online energy collective event. So if you are listening to this on Wednesday, when this episode comes out, and you fancy joining this month's online collective, yeah, we are going to be working with the energy theme of Connect to Your Heart Magic, which is part of something that came up in the April 2020 energy forecast, The Empty Room. So tonight we are going to be connecting to the magic and energy of The Empty Room. We're going to be connecting to our heart spaces, accessing its wisdom. I'm going to be channeling some messages for the group. We are going to be releasing some old patterns around trauma and control, and even having some fun with playing with our intuitive gifts in the empty room, because we need some fun right now as well. So yeah, we're going to be working with that too. So if you feel called, you can sign up. It's $25 to join. Join live or sign up now and do the replay. Or you can join the online collective community, which is $120 for the year. That's $10 a month. Or sign up for the frequency fee. That's $17.50. Build month to month and cancel any time. So even if you're listening to this episode in the future and you're like, hey, I want to do that energy collective event, I want to do the connect to your heart magic, well, you still can, because if you sign up to the community, you get access to the whole library of all past energy collective events and the guided meditations that go with the energy forecasts. So yeah, that's what you get when you join the community, as well as community conversations and being part of the collective portal. So yeah, join me this evening. It's $25 a month if you just want to join the one-off event, or sign up for the special frequency offer that is basically only runs till tonight, which is $120 for the year, $10 a month. Or you can sign up for $17.50 and it's billed month to month and cancel anytime. Basically, join the community and get the energy collective events cheaper. Pay $25 or pay $17.50. So yeah, that's basically trying to make it more accessible to you. Plus you get access to the whole back catalogue as well. Plus, last week I had the pleasure of hosting a sacred guidance circle, and the themes were really powerful actually in last week's circle. Everyone that turned up in the group, it was all about healing the energy of the masculine, healing our masculine relationships, looking at the masculine energy in our lives, and really looking at the body as well of healing. I am hosting another sacred guidance circle April 21st at 6:15 PST. It's $133 to join. I'll put the link into the show notes if you want to join. The whole group gets brought together energetically, because you're not going to just be receiving your own messages. You're going to be getting messages from the whole group. I channel a message for every single person, and you also get to ask me two questions. So if that's something that you feel like, oh my gosh, yes, I'd love to be part of that group dynamic and receive some messages, head to the show notes and there are still some spots to sign up. And if you are really feeling called to go deeper with me, I also have, I think, 2 one-on-one sessions left in April. So if you are feeling cool to have a full-on hour with me one-on-one, yeah, head to the show notes. You can book a one-on-one session there too. Let's talk about body hair. Yes, you heard me right. I did just say, let's talk about body hair. I'm so open to letting it all grow. But for me personally, I also still like to have smooth legs and underarms. Even though I'm newly single, I'm still keeping up my routine as it feels good for me, and I've always done that. But I've struggled finding brands I like, and razors aren't cheap. But I was recently introduced to Flamingo, and I love their name because I do look like a flamingo in the shower with my leg hitched up on the side, one-legged, trying to shave my legs. It's not the easiest of positions. So Flamingo is a body care brand that makes an award-winning razor at half the price. Flamingo was started by a group of women at Harry's, the men's shaving brand, who wanted to create a better experience for women, which includes affordable razors. I've been using their razors and I have been loving the handle that comes with it. It is beautifully designed. It is really soft to touch, which is really nice when you're in the shower. Even though I'm squished in my shower, shaving my legs, it's really allowed me to have a really close shave and get into the areas like my knees and around my ankles, and I haven't nicked them or grazed my skin at all using the razors. The other things that I love about them and their products is that it's sulfate-free, paraben-free, dye-free, and cruelty-free, and that they are also supporting nonprofits and other causes. Try the Flamingo Shave Set for just $16. It's your entire shave routine, including Flamingo's award-winning razor, shave gel, and body lotion. Plus, they throw in a slip-free shower hook. I'm telling you, shaving feels better when it's not overpriced. And with their 30-day money-back guarantee, you can try Flamingo risk-free. Flamingo is in over a million bathrooms, and it can be yours too for just $16 with free shipping today when you visit shopflamingo.com/Natalie. That's shopflamingo.com/Natalie. So let's jump into this Q&A episode. Thank you to everyone who submitted your questions. We haven't had a Q&A episode since February. So yeah, I've got some great questions lined up today, which I'm excited to answer. Okay, the first question is from Sandy in Maine.
Hi, Natalie. My name is Sandy and I live in Maine, and I'm really enjoying your podcast. Thank you so much. My question is frustration. I've always felt like I am a medium, or I desperately want to be a medium. I don't know where that comes from, but it always comes back to me. And I've, until now, not really been able to connect to anything. And I'm 47, and I feel like, am I too old now? Is this just not supposed to happen? So it's really frustrating. You know, I've done circles before and met with people and other mentors, other mediums, read books, I meditate, and I'm just really frustrated. And I don't know why I feel this need to connect to dead people, and not just a need, a want. You know, some things have happened, like just last night, I felt like I was tapped on the shoulder when I was sleeping. I didn't really feel scared at first, and then a little bit of fear came in, but that's happened twice to me, but that's really all I can think of that's happened in terms of connecting. And I don't know if it's the fear that's holding me back or what. The other thing is that I'm going through like some career transition and a lot of hard stuff, drama, with my two teenagers. And so it's interesting that that tap happened last night on my shoulder. So anyways, that's my question. I know you probably get this question too often, but there it is. So thank you so much.
Sandy, great questions. Firstly, you are not too old to reconnect and use your mediumship gifts. We can connect to our gifts at any time in our lives. So you are definitely not too old. There are just some things as you're talking that come up for me that I would love for you to ask yourself. Firstly, the reason that you really want to be a medium, or that you want to really connect to this gift, is because you know that this is an untapped gift of yours, that you've had for many lifetimes, previous lifetimes, and it doesn't feel like that you can fulfill it in this lifetime, which then becomes a block because you know in your heart, but you don't think that you could access it. I would personally go and look at the fear around that. The things that came up for me around fear for you was judgment of others. So really worrying what other people will think of you if you stepped into using your mediumship gifts. Worried that you won't be able to turn them off. So what happens if I really start seeing? What happens if I really turn them on and I don't know whether I'll be able to turn them off? Also, the element of unseeing, like, oh my gosh, what happens if I do start seeing? I then can't unsee. I also have this feeling that you personally really, really, really want to connect to a family member that passed over when you were a lot younger that you really want to connect to. There's something about this need of yours also to look for support from someone that you really wish that you had extra support from in your life right now, which is connected to, as you said, you know, you're going through a lot with your children, and there's this need to feel extra supported right now, which is also why you had the tapping on the shoulder to remind you that you are supported during this time. And I know that you sent this question back to me a couple of months ago, so things have more than likely evolved, but also with everything that's happening in the collective, that you're also probably experiencing this more. But I would just also say relax, like really chill. Like, it's just try and not to make this a thing where, you know, energetically where you really, really need something, it just then means that there's just an extra pressure on yourself to become a medium. What I would say around the being worried that you won't be able to turn it off is sometimes I like to imagine that I have like a tap, an energy tap above my head. So you can turn on the energy tap, imagine the energy flowing all the way over your head and your face and just seeing yourself being connected. And then when you want to turn it off, imagine the energy tap being turned off and imagine the energy stopping and you being brought back into your physical body and the energy to connect to the loved ones stopping. But next time when you do get that tap on the shoulder and you feel comfortable, ask who it is. Ask to be shown more. Start up a conversation if you can. See what images come up into your mind's eye. See how you feel. Yeah, it's just about baby steps, but I would go and have a look at what your personal fears are around being a medium. And there's a lot of things for you personally around connecting to your throat chakra and speaking your truth. And so I feel like you've had a lot of difficulty recently around communicating and really allowing your truth to shine. And this is also a part of the fear of you connecting to the loved ones that want to come through and being able to connect and share the gifts and speak to the loved ones that want to try and get hold of you as well. Thanks for a great question, Sandy. This leads me into, I had two amazing questions around connecting to loved ones on the other side. And I want to share these questions with you. One is an audio, one is written, but I want to share them both with you. The first one is from Pat, and he says, "Hi, Natalie. My name is Pat and I live in Ottawa, Canada. I listen to every episode and I'm slowly working out how to ask for and accept messages through my knowing gifts. I have a strong belief in reincarnation that helps me focus on what I'm supposed to learn from day to day rather than stuck on my hardships. My question is, how can we still receive from those who have passed and reincarnated? Or does reincarnation in the material plane mean that we cannot access messages from those souls? When we sense or communicate with the souls of the departed, does that mean that they are in some kind of limbo or that they have simply reincarnated into a different plane?" Great question. And then I have Allison from Utah with a similar question, but also with a different take on it as well. So I'm going to answer these questions together. Here is Allison's question.
Hi, Natalie. This is Allison from Utah, and I just have a couple questions regarding people's souls. So I know that when a person passes away, they go to the spirit realm, and you can access them through meditation, through prayer, even in dreams. Like, you can communicate with them, you can see them again, they can guide you. I know I've experienced that, and I know many people who have as well, but I also know that souls are meant to experience multiple lifetimes to grow, as we all are. And what I was wondering was, when a loved one passes away and their soul is no longer on the physical realm, when they get put back into the physical realm, can you still access them in the same way? Will they still guide you? Will that spiritual connection be just as strong? Like, once their soul is now on another part of the world, experiencing a completely different lifetime, growing up as a completely independent person of who they were in the past, can you, the person who knew them in their old lifetime, can you still access them? Can they still guide you? Can you still pray to them? Does part of their soul splinter in a way to honor their past lifetimes while also allowing the soul to continue to grow? Anyway, I hope that makes sense. And if you have the time, I have one more question regarding your relationships with people when they die. How does somebody who was very toxic towards you, like when they die and you did not have a good relationship with them, and there's no closure there, can you access them, meditate to them, pray to them, dream of them after they've passed and get closure? Or are those toxic traits something that is more attached to the soul than the physical realm? So would their soul still be toxic towards me or towards anybody experiencing this if they were to try to get closure after that person has passed away? Anyway, I hope those make sense. Thank you so much. I love the podcast.
Pat, Allison, thank you for these important questions. So my understanding, and how I love to share this, is that when we connect to a loved one who has passed over, we are connecting to the imprint that is left by them, even if they have reincarnated into their next body, into their next human existence, and human lifetime. So when we communicate with the souls that have departed, we are accessing the imprint of their soul. Plus, we can also access their evolved state, their soul that is free from the toxic traits, as you expressed, Allison. So yeah, we can access the imprint of that person, but we can also connect to that person's higher self, their evolved state as well. Which means that we can still pray for them. We can still connect to them. We still can communicate to them and feel their essence as we are connecting to the imprint. And also, we can connect to this evolved soul state as well, which means, bringing it back to your question, Allison, around can you gain closure from someone that has passed over? Yes, you can. If you feel called to, and that's something that is aligned for you, and that you want to have that closure and have that forgiveness with that person, yes, you can. You can connect to them in the other side, because those are the physical human traits versus the evolved state that they have gone to once they have passed over. But that soul might have to come back to another human lifetime to learn the lessons of the things that they didn't learn, but it doesn't stop you being called to gain that closure if you feel called. Allison, Pat, thank you for your questions. My next question is from Mandy on Vancouver Island.
Hi, Natalie. My name is Mandy, and I'm over in Victoria, just on Vancouver Island, so super close to you. My question is just regarding people who are working towards reactivating their gifts and raising their consciousness and their vibration. I'm wondering if there are people who are continually working towards, you know, being able to reactivate their gifts, seeing, hearing, knowing, etc., but just don't, like just aren't able to. So is there a possibility for me to do all of the work and raise my consciousness, my awareness, my vibration, etc., and still in the end never be able to reactivate? So that's it. Thanks so much.
This is a question that I get asked regularly. So thank you, Mandy, for submitting this. there is a fear that we will never be able to reactivate our gifts. And we all have our own journey to do this. You know, for some people, their gifts get reactivated in their teens, some in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 60s, 70s, 80s. And for some people, the gifts never get reactivated. But that's normally because they're not looking to reactivate them. It's because they never experienced that spiritual reactivation. But Mandy, I know that you are on this journey of really connecting to yourself and opening yourself up to the possibility and the potential of this. Firstly, I'd like to say that we are all continually on a reactivation journey. For me, even now, I'm still reactivating parts of my gifts that I didn't know that were there. So there is no end game or end point where it's like, okay, everything's reactivated. I now have all the gifts. I'm now all set to connect to my intuition. It doesn't work like that. We are all on this continual journey to deepen and strengthen our connection to our intuition. The other thing that comes through is to not focus on the time frame of when they're going to come through. I know that's really difficult. It's like, I want them now. I really want them now. I want to be able to experience my hearing, seeing, feeling, knowing gifts, and I want them now. But we have to allow for each gift to show up when they want to show up and for us to experience them in that way. Of course, we can do intuitive development and we can grow each one, but it's also looking at our own human need to fit everything into a time frame. And also trying not to see the seeing, feeling, knowing, hearing as separate gifts and to see them as a whole. And this is something that I want to share more on, because we can get so fixed onto, oh, well, I'm not getting my seeing gifts. Where are they? But actually, you've got amazing feeling and knowing gifts. But then as our human mind gets fixed on what we don't have versus being really open to receive our intuitive guidance in the ways that wants to come through for us. So being aware of that as well. For you, Mandy, and thinking, oh, well, do you know what? I do have really amazing knowing and feeling gifts. And let's just see what comes up for me each day on how my gifts want to work. And also in this space, with everything that's happening in the world right now, as many of us are in our homes and we're being forced to slow down, is there might actually be an increase in you connecting to your own intuitive gifts because we're having to slow down. We're beginning to notice things about how we feel in our body, what we're seeing outside, what we are being shown, what we know to be true. So just notice in this slowing down period of what we're experiencing right now of how are my intuitive gifts being shown to me in this moment, because they are showing up for you on a daily basis. We just need to begin to notice. And I feel, Mandy, this is a really powerful time for you just to, yeah, notice what's coming up for you and look at your fears around failure or things not coming to fruition for you, because I have a feeling that this theme shows up in other areas of your life that aren't just connected to your intuition. So this fear of failure or fearing that something won't happen is just being played out within that you're worried that you won't be able to connect to your intuitive gifts at all. Thanks for a great question, Mandy. Hope that helped.
Hey, Nat. So here is my question. So I keep getting intuitive hits and signs almost every day, if not every day, to write and write and write. I constantly run into writers. I see signs for writers, and I feel I want to write a screenplay or a book. But when I sit down to actually do it, it's not good. Mentally, I'm blocked up. Everything comes out in monotone blocks, and I don't even know what I would put together. I don't even enjoy the process, and it's so frustrating, and I usually end up leaving way before it's even done, and I feel like, am I getting the wrong sign? Does spirit have me confused with someone else, and this is meant for someone else? I just don't understand why I keep getting bombarded with this, and when I sit down to do it, it's just not working. Okay, thanks.
Lindsay, trust the signs. Trust the signs. Yes, you are receiving these signs to encourage you to write, but it can feel overwhelming when you get the messages and you're like, yeah, but what do I write? I've been there. I know what it's like, especially when in the past I've been to other psychic mediums and they're like, you're a writer, you're supposed to be writing. And you're like, yeah, but what is that? What I would share on this is it can be really overwhelming when we think we know what we want to write, but we're not sure how it's going to come through. So we put this loads of pressure on ourselves to write the screenplay or write the story or come up with the idea. And it's like, yeah, but where is this idea? What I would suggest is breaking it down. So instead of thinking, oh my gosh, I've got to write this screenplay or I've got to write this book, just start doing like 5-minute writing exercises in the morning where you ask yourself a question and you just write, or that you just write what wants to come through that's not connected to any book or any screenplay, and you just see what wants to come through. And I do this when I'm writing and I'm like, oh, well, what wants to come through? And I'm like, oh, this is all crap. What I'm writing is just complete crap. And I let all of that flow come out. And then as I let that flow, suddenly the energy shifts and I connect into the energy and it's like, oh, okay, actually now I'm in my writer's flow and this feels good. But yeah, sometimes you have to get over that hurdle of like, this is not great. And yeah, there are going to be days where you're writing things and it's like, what is this? But it's all part of that process of channeling and channeling through the creative flow that wants to come through you. And also part of that is getting out of your head of what you think you should be writing versus allowing what wants to flow through you. And honestly, sometimes we're not supposed to know what that is. Sometimes we go to a blank canvas and we sit there and we're like, okay, show me, what does that look like today? And so it's about you trusting that you can show up, be in the unknown, and that you actually don't have to create anything. Sometimes it's just being there and showing up, and it doesn't have to be a thing that you create. It's just like, yeah, this is what it is. I'm just going to see what comes through. There are a couple of books, though, that I would recommend. Big Magic by Liz Gilbert. Love this book. For anyone that is struggling with a creative block or wanting to be more creative or reconnect to your creativity, go and have a listen to Big Magic. The other book is The Artist's Way by Julia Cameron. And yeah, this is a book to help people really connect to their creativity. And there's like techniques and exercises to really help you try and beat the creative demons that stop you from, yeah, living in that place of self-doubt. And the other book, it's actually a book that I haven't listened to yet, but was recommended to me yesterday by a friend. So I thought this was interesting that this question appeared for this Q&A, because I got a friend recommended a book to me, which is called The War of Art: Break Through the Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles. And it's by Stephen Pressfield. I haven't had a listen to it yet, but it comes highly recommended. But it comes highly recommended from my friend Bal. And it was a book that I was going to download as an audiobook and have a listen. I think it's like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. So it's quite short and punchy. So yeah, don't get disheartened, but do trust the signs and messages around being the writer. Thanks, Lindsay. The next question is from Brianna in Oregon, who has an amazing question about visualization and mind's eye.
Hi, Natalie. My name is Brianna, and I'm from Oregon, and I have a question about something that I feel is really hindering my spiritual progression, and it's also something that I know a lot of people around the world struggle with, so I figured it was worthwhile to ask. So I have no mind's eye, and when I try and do things like visualizations and guided meditations, I just end up kind of defeated in the end because I feel like I don't get much out of it. I was wondering if you have any insight as to how to maybe develop this gift or reasons why I might have this issue. I don't know if there are blocks that I need to clear in order to be better at visualization. I don't know if it's just something I wasn't blessed with, or maybe I just need to work harder trying to gain this ability. I'm not sure. So I was just wondering if you had any input. It would be so welcome. I just wanted to thank you, Natalie, for the work that you do. You've changed my life in ways that you'll never ever realize just by starting this podcast. And you're such a special soul. And I'm just so thankful for finding this podcast. So thank you and have a beautiful day.
Hi, Brianna. Thank you for your kind words. It's a pleasure and a privilege to record every single episode of this podcast. So thank you for listening. This is a really important question. Brianna, firstly, you do have a mind's eye, and you do have access to your seeing gifts. Sometimes I think, I agree, we do put this pressure on guided meditations and that this is the only way to connect to the seeing gifts or even visualization. So how do we do this? How do we connect to this? What I would say is that as I am talking, if I was to say a red apple, as I'm sharing this to you right now, red apple, when I say a red apple, are you seeing a red apple in your head? As you say, as I say that, with like no pressure, no nothing, are you able to visualize a red apple? Because this is how our visualizations work. It's just that we can see it in our head. And then to take it one step further, if I was to say, can you see a tiger wearing a birthday hat? A tiger wearing a birthday hat. Do you then get a visualization in your mind's eye of a tiger wearing a birthday hat? Is that something that you can experience in your body? However, it might be just that you see it or that you know it or that you experience it. Can you see a tiger with a birthday hat? These are short mini exercises that you can do. Seeing a red apple. Can you see a tiger with a birthday hat? The other exercise that I love to reconnect people with their mind's eye is you can shut your eyes and go to a place in your memory. Go to a place in your memory because our memories, when we access our memories, it's a great space for us to connect to that place of visualization. Go and reconnect and access a memory of a place that you loved when you were younger. And it could even be your childhood bedroom. And go and imagine that you are sat in your childhood bedroom or a place that you had fond memories of. And just go and look out the window. Go and remember and access your memories of what your bed looked like, what was on the walls, where in the house was it? Or do this for wherever your favorite space is. But by accessing our memories and trying to imagine ourselves in those memories is a great way of reconnecting with our mind's eye. Because you definitely have a mind's eye, Brianna. You definitely have access to it, but also taking the pressure off, as I described earlier with Mandy's question around, okay, I don't have this mind's eye, I can't see, but can I feel? How do these guided meditations that I am being shown to do, how do they make me feel in my body? And maybe you're being asked to connect to the more feeling part of you versus the seeing element. But just trust that you can access this seeing element as well. I hope that helps, Brianna. The final question is from Abby in Boulder, Colorado.
Hi, Natalie. This is Abby from Boulder, Colorado. And I have a question about doing readings with people who resonate with the messages you're sharing, but seem to be stuck in a thought loop, preventing them from fully absorbing it. So I have started doing readings fairly recently, and I've been blessed with a wide variety of clients. And what I find is some of the clients who are in a fear-based mindset or just vibrating at a denser energy, sometimes I will share messages and it doesn't quite seem to fully land. Like in the moment, they'll agree and say that it resonates, and then they'll kind of just go back into the thought loop that they were in. So I was just wondering how you move forward in those situations and what you think the best way to hold space and communicate in that type of dynamic. Thank you.
Great question, Abby. What I would say is that all the messages that come through for people, they're ready to hear. Otherwise, spirit wouldn't be sharing them with you. That's how I work in my practice, is that the messages that I'm channeling through, they are ready to hear. But it's not my job as a reader to convince them to listen to the message. That's just their choice. Again, we all have choice and free will in the guidance that we're receiving. So as the person channeling the message and sharing the message, we have to really practice surrender and non-attachment to the message that we're receiving. Sometimes if they are continuing in the loop, I ask spirit, I ask my guides and say, okay, can we give this to them a different way that they might understand better? Or how can I repeat this in a different way that they might understand? So that's what I like to do when that also happens in my sessions. But also that it's not my responsibility to make sure that it 100% lands, because I have received so many messages from my own sessions afterwards where people come back and they're like, oh yeah, it didn't make 100% whilst I was in the session, but listening back, it now really resonates. So yeah, that is the beauty of being the channeler and sharing the messages, is that we just have to share the messages and then surrender it, because it's then the journey of that person who you were giving the messages to go on their own journey with what you've shared. But I hope that helps. But sometimes you can repeat messages and it may never sink in. It might never land the whole way. And that is the journey and the soul's evolution of that person. So yeah, it is practicing the art of surrender as a psychic reader for others. Thanks, Abby. Thank you to everyone for sharing these amazing questions. If you have been listening to this episode and you've been thinking, oh, I really want to ask this question, I really want to ask this intuitive or spiritual based question, please email me at hello@natalie-miles.com. hello@natalie-miles.com. Please send me a short voice memo with your name and where you're from, or send me an email if you don't feel comfortable recording your voice. But I do love the voice memo questions so that I can put your voices into the show as well. But yes, please send your questions in, because I will be doing another Q&A over the next 6 weeks. Thanks for listening. I'll be back next week with another episode of the podcast. And if you feel called to join a sacred guidance circle or the online energy collective, I'll put all the links in the show notes of where you can sign up. And if you haven't had a listen yet, I encourage you to go and listen to the April energy forecast of the empty room, because there is a lot of energy being brought up for us all right now. And yeah, go and have a listen to the updated energy forecast for 2020, all about self-sovereignty, because those themes that were channeled back in January, we are really experiencing now as a collective and as individuals as well. Thanks for listening. Have a beautiful rest of your week. Bye.